but I don't hold any, they don't have like a special place in my heart. Because they've, by their wicked deeds, have corrupted and killed the feelings that I once had. That I may have had at some time. But I see, it's like, I'm a very affectionate person. I'm not saying that to, you know, but what I'm saying is, without natural affection means you don't have any natural affection. Doesn't mean necessarily, you know, someone you who by nature you should be affectionate for, let's say if it was lost, it doesn't mean you're without natural affection. I don't want you to enter into condemnation because of some ungodly person for whom it is affection is not something you can feel. Because again, love is not a choice. I mean, there is a love that is a choice, you know, the love of your enemy. But also that, in a sense, also has to be by the Spirit, because it's like you could say you love them and do the deeds of loving, but do you really want what's good for them? Do you really want them to turn, or do you, I don't want them to turn, I want them to burn in hell, quote unquote, you know. Is that what you really want for someone? Or do you really want good for them? You really desire to see them turn. I'd love to see that person turn. I would. But as that relationship of the past, it cannot be. It would have to be remade in a new thing in Christ. This just kind of goes back to my own damaged beginnings, I guess, the way I look at these, some of that, you know. I just consider, because I go through these lists and I think, you know, how does my righteousness stand up against this? Truce breakers, I already kind of went into the definition of that, but it means truce breakers. They don't hold to their truce. They don't keep their word. False accusers is literally diabolos, slanderers, devils. You know, a devil is someone who is slanders people. That's the meaning of the word devil. A slanderer. A calumniator. Which means, you know, stirring up evil accusations against someone. False accuser. Okay, yeah, diabolos. Incontinent. Which means powerless, in a sense, without self-control. I just have to have another rib. I just got to have that third burger. That was me, man. It was like, one hamburger, two hamburger. I mean, the big ones you make at home, you know. And it's like, oh, I just wish I could have a third one. Oh, just go ahead and eat a third one, Paul. Have a third one. No, it's just one is enough. Lord has taught me to be, thank God, he's taught me self-control in the way I deal with food. I can control myself. Not because I'm great, but because God has given me this gift of late. Past month or so. And I see the fruit of it is the pounds fall off. You know, 20 years of excess. Lifetime of excess, really. When I was young, I wasn't fat because I was growing and I was very active. And no matter how much I ate, I never seemed to get very fat or anywhere near fat. And I was blessed in that, that I had that kind of metabolism. I know other kids, they ate less than I did. And they struggled with weight and they were just as active. Me, I could eat whatever I want, never got fat. Well, then all of a sudden my life changed. I became sedentary. I started smoking pot, drinking beer, sitting around a lot. All of a sudden the pounds started to pile on. And over the course of 15 or so years, I put on something like 80 pounds in 15 years, which is not a lot per year. But, you know, there were years where I put on a lot, and there were years where I was kind of stagnant, you know. The Lord has taught me now moderation. All right. Fierce. Savage, you know. It's pretty, so, you know, I think about like road rage. It makes me think of, or the way people sometimes deal with each other. It's like the nastiness, the wickedness with people deal with each other. That's out there. It's always been there. Men have been fierce. Men have been incontinent for all ages. The last days, perilous times shall come. And I think in a sense, I don't know, is he really even saying that these are, is he saying that this is the sign of the end, or is he saying, hey, men shall be all these things? Like Jesus, he said, hey, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but the end shall not be yet. Men are going to do all these things. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs also was. To me, almost, that's the sign of the last times, when we finally get to make manifest their folly. Because I look in the Revelation, and that's what I see. I see the people of God manifesting the folly of the people of Satan. Even though the world is following after Satan and so on and so forth, at least there's a difference being drawn. At least some are being plucked out of the fire. By the power of God and the word of prophecy which is in their mouth, and the plagues with which they smite the earth. So they're traitors. Men are traitors. We've always been traitors. What does heady mean? Literally it means falling forward, headlong, reckless. Reckless. Yeah, I'll be reckless for the Lord. I mean, there's going to be, in a sense of, you know, just trusting Him, you know, right? But then, there's a recklessness that's not of God. I sometimes think of it, I mean, I've used this word, not thinking of heady, but reckless in the way some men handle the word of God. I'm just kind of reckless about it. Let it mean whatever, you know, they just kind of run through the thing, not considering what they're handling. The gravity. And even some, they handle it, but it's like they twist it and they pervert it and they don't consider it. Like, oh, you know, hey, you know, that's not an appropriate way to use the word of God. Again, as we're in this pastoral epistle, my mind runs to my former teachers. Especially the one. I already mentioned, I'm not going to go on about it. High-minded. This means to envelop with smoke. That's what that word means, literally, to wrap yourself in smoke. So it's a figurative word. It means to inflate with self-conceit.